Hey Gators and sports fans, get all your Gator talk, news, analysis, and opinions on the Pod Up with Matthews in the Morning podcast. Find us on your favorite podcast platform or watch us on Facebook Live between 8 a.m. and 9 a.m. every weekday. Pod Up, because we are Gator fans. So say, it's great to be a Florida Gator.
Good morning and welcome to a Thursday edition of the program. It's Matthews in the Morning from the Crime Prevention Security System Studios. Large enough to serve you, small enough to care. It's Thursday. You know what that means. We're going to be joined shortly by our college football analyst, Brent Beard. Second portion is the Baker Sporting Goods High School Roundup. When we're going to have Mike Wright out giving us a breakdown. I think it's week 7, believe it or not. Maybe week 8 in college, high school football. But let's go to the Titan Number Hotline. And we're joined by our college football analyst, Heisman Trophy voter, Mr. Brent Beard. Good morning, Brent. How are you?
We need to enjoy every moment of this as we near the halfway point of the college football season, which is just, we wait all year and it seems like it's over in a blink and a chain. So, it's going full bore. We've got a lot of surprises. Another very interesting week coming up in the SEC.
We do, and Brent, as everyone knows by now, you are a Heisman Trophy voter. Who in the hell would you vote for the award right now? I don't think anybody's worthy.
It's just so wide open at this point that it would be really hard to zero in on one person. I mean, Matt Corral certainly deserves consideration from the SEC. But look, their names right now, like Kenneth Walker at Michigan State, C.J. Stroud at Ohio State, Grayson McCall at Coastal Carolina, Tanner Mordecai at SMU, Desmond Ritter at Cincinnati. I mean, the truth of the matter is, probably a lot of those folks listening to us right now, they may not even know who some of these guys are, but they're having great years. And Shane, could you say the Heisman race is about as wide open right now as the overall race in college football?
Yeah, it's extremely wide open. And like you said, I don't know if anybody's having a year that's deserving of the Heisman Trophy, but there's still half the year to go. The polls came out. Obviously, the Dogs are number one in America right now. I think they deserve it. I think they've looked the best. Anything stand out to you in the top 25 right now, Brent?
Well, I mean, everybody's keeping an eye on Cincinnati, and would the committee put them in? And I still say, even if they run the table, that the committee will put a Power 5 team in over Cincinnati. I don't necessarily like that. Is that fair? Really, no. But and knowing that committee, I think that's kind of what you've got. The Big Ten has 5. Top 10 teams, first time ever. That's kind of interesting. But, yeah, I'm with you, and I'm speaking to the Jacksonville Bulldog Club tonight, which would be interesting. But Georgia right now is probably the most complete team in the nation. I'm sure some people would argue with that, but no problem with them being number one.
Not at all. I think I was looking at your notes that you sent me, talking about defense points per game allowed.
Yes.
I don't say I was surprised, but I don't think a lot of people realize Florida's defense is right there.
Yeah, oh, yeah, absolutely. Florida and Michigan at number 9, 15 points allowed per game. Now, Georgia leads with 5. No, if people didn't misunderstand us, did they, Shane? That's 5. And look, even as much as Clemson is struggling offensively, their defense is going to be keeping them in every game. Cincinnati and Clemson are second, allowing 12 points a game. Now, Shane, isn't that interesting, the discrepancy between 1 and 2? You've got Georgia with 5, and then you've got Clemson and Cincinnati with 12. I mean, that's a touchdown difference.
Yeah, it's really remarkable how well they've played defensively this year. And then points per game scored. I didn't realize who was leading the country. That's kind of surprising.
Yep. Pittsburgh. Yes, Pittsburgh of the ACC is leading the country at 52 points per game. That's a really nice club. If people haven't seen them, I'm curious if you have. And again, they beat Tennessee earlier in the year in a game that Tennessee probably could have won. Coastal Carolina actually is next. Now, you take the schedule involved here at 48. Ole Miss, no surprise, for 46 points a game. I think the surprise here, Shane, is Tennessee. Tennessee's averaging 41 points a game. That, look, there were times before Josh Heupel got there over the last few years, I don't know if they scored 41 points in two games.
No. Yeah, if you're a Tennessee fan, you have to be excited right now. I don't know how many games they'll end up winning, but at least it's fun to watch football again.
Yes.
I got a couple of Facebook Lives here brought to you by Metal Law, the only official law firm partner of the Florida Gators. John says, Florida has a top 10 defense in the nation. Meanwhile, everybody wants to fire the DC, shaking my head. Joseph says, our defense has been pretty consistent, just got to start causing more turnovers. I mean, turnovers just happen. There's not really much you can do about that. Brent, out of the teams that are no longer ranked, that were ranked in the preseason or first couple of weeks of the season, there's quite a few. And some teams that were expected to do a lot. Which one surprises you the most?
Well, a lot of people would say Clemson, but I would say maybe Iowa State. Mm-hmm. And would even throw North Carolina in there because – people just thought with Sam Howell coming back, North Carolina would be great. But Iowa State, and look, they're 3-2. There's still time for them to become ranked. I think we all thought Miami maybe would be fool's gold. Derek King is out for the year now. I don't know if people have heard that or not. So at 2-3, they play North Carolina. We'll talk about LSU in a few minutes, but LSU is in that mix also. But again, these teams can kind of come together and be ranked hopefully by the end of the year. But I would say right now, to me more, it would be Ohio State, maybe North Carolina.
Yeah, I think North Carolina and Iowa State are both huge disappointments for sure. Before we jump into the conference games, Brent, Penn State loses that big game at Iowa. I think they were up 20-3. I think that's what the score was when Sean Clifford went out. What is the status of his injury, and how long is he planning to be out? Do you know?
I need to double-check that. That's a good question. But that made a marked difference on that game because the quarterback that they put in was just unable to do anything. And, Shane, have you seen a game in a while where the punter made that much of a difference? People may snicker at that, but – the reality is the punter pinned Penn State back. The Iowa punter pinned Penn State back. Say that fast. just about the entire game. And Shane, you get this when you're a quarterback, basically if you're the backup. And you come in, you're in an environment like that, and you're basically starting every drive, what, inside your 10-yard line? How hard is that?
Well, it ain't easy. I mean, you're exactly right. Field position hurt that kid. But, gosh, Brent, it was either bad play calling from a standpoint of them not understanding what that kid is capable of doing, or he just ain't very good. Because, I mean, I don't know if he completed a pass the entire time I was watching. And, you know, Penn State had that game won if their quarterback doesn't get hurt. That's very, very unfortunate for them. The first time in the playoff era that all four playoff teams from the previous year have a loss. That's pretty surprising.
I think that tells you really kind of where we are in a very unusual year. Now, the reality is Everybody was howling, "Oh, we want some different teams," and so forth. Well, that's kind of what's happening right now, and that's what we're getting with that either. So it really has opened things up considerably at this point. So, by the way, I've been checking on Sean Clifford. No injury information has been released. So they're holding that one pretty close to the vest, Penn State has. So hopefully he'll be back soon. But you're right, that would have been a different game. But at the same time, give Iowa a lot of credit. Iowa leads the nation in takeaways. They were like plus 16 going into that game. So Iowa, and look, Shane, there's no magic formula, is it? If you can keep the ball without losing it and take the ball away from your opponent, you're going to win most games.
You're exactly right. 13 unbeaten still in big time football. I don't know if any of those surprise some of the people. Maybe Wake Forest, Michigan, Michigan State, Oklahoma State, Kentucky, the Roadrunners from UTSA, Texas San Antonio. Yeah. But we still have three winless teams, Brent. Arizona, UConn, and UNLV. UMass got off the hook last week, and they stormed the field. You think those three teams win a game this year?
I will not bet any money on UConn. Maybe Arizona would have one of the better chances, but boy, Jed Fish is there. Mm-hmm. In Arizona, and sometimes in your first year, it just doesn't go very well. And unfortunately, that's what he's got at this point. Arizona still has got Colorado, Washington, Southern Cal, Utah, Washington State, and Arizona State. So, geez, that may not happen.
Yeah, may not. It's amazing that LSU, Miami, and USC may not make a bowl this year.
That's incredible, and the odds of that are probably in some way astronomical that would have happened, because at the beginning of the year, a lot of us thought LSU may end up being the second best team in the league. But we thought Miami may end up winning, what, 7-8 games at least, and Southern Cal, with that offense coming back, would do the same thing. We're not saying that's going to happen, but there's a chance it may not, which would be unbelievable.
Yeah. Turn your car or truck into a rolling billboard for your business or brand with an eye-catching vehicle wrap from Wrap Spot. This October, mention promo code Shane and receive 13% off your vehicle wrap. Speaking with Brent Beard, our college football analyst, you can follow Brent on Twitter at Brent Beard. All right, Brent, let's go around the league. It's an intriguing game. It's in Starkville. Alabama is coming off their loss, heading to Starkville to face Mississippi State. You know, a lot of people want to say, well, Mississippi State beat A&M at A&M. Alabama loses at A&M, so it could be a good game. How do you see this thing playing out?
Well, I think a lot of this is going to be how focused and determined will Alabama be after the loss. From what I'm hearing, they had a terrible week of practice last week. And that they were probably they really got things together and played extremely well against Ole Miss. They had probably their most complete performance of the year, particularly defensively against Ole Miss, and it showed. They got out to a big lead and they basically coasted. So they had maximum effort in that game, and their schedule caught up with them in a lot of ways with that too. Now, look, there's no way in the world we can overlook what A&M did. I mean, Jimbo had a great plan. What Calzada did, no one in their right mind believed that would happen after watching him play. Basically what A&M did was they got their running backs, Isaiah Spiller, and the A-chain kid was really good, and more involved with the passing game. And Shane knows more of the technique than I do, but Jimbo went over what he did with Calzada. As far as getting his feet under him and getting the angle on the ball, getting the angle on his elbow. Now, look, a lot of that's a lot more technical that then we'll get into. Shane understands this, but the reality is, I think Alabama still trying to improve on penalties. The thing they've got to deal with Mississippi State is the fact that where they, the State with Will Rogers, who's a really serviceable quarterback, leads the SEC in passing yards per game. Shane, help me on this, but their passing attack are basically running plays. They basically throw it out to the backs within what, about a 5-yard window or something like that. And he'll throw as many as 60 passes in a game. So a lot of this for Alabama is going to be redemption. Are you focused, particularly on defense? And can you tackle well in space?
Yeah, you're exactly right. I don't see how Mississippi State can win this game unless Alabama just has thrown in the towel, and that ain't going to happen. But, yeah, Jimbo, give him credit. He called a tremendous game. The quarterback played outstanding. He used his NFL players finally, got the ball in their hands.
Yes.
And they made a ton of plays. And that's for all my loyal listeners that have been giving me crap all year about A&M. That's the team I thought we would see.
Yeah,
with all those NFL skill guys. I don't know. I heard bits and pieces about Jimbo talking about this and that, about, the fundamentals and all that. I don't know how much you can change that from week to week, honestly, Brent. I do know Calzada has a tremendous arm. His feet aren't always in the proper place. Not that they have to be. I mean, you watch Aaron Rodgers, his feet are all over the place.
Yeah.
But really, this dude just ain't that accurate. But it was a tremendous win for the A&M football team. Another interesting game, Auburn and Arkansas. Arkansas coming off the heartbreaker, going for two to beat Ole Miss, which I thought was the correct move. And then Auburn played well early against Georgia, but just Georgia's way too talented for them. What do you see this game doing?
This is a big game for both of these teams. The game's in Arkansas. Also, Auburn has owned this series as of late. They've got a 5-game winning streak here. One of the more interesting stats that I've seen about Auburn is that when Auburn gets to 400 yards of total offense, they are 15-1 in their last 16 games when they do that. So that's fairly impressive, too. I heard one of the better descriptions of Bo Nix that I've heard during the game against Georgia, and I give credit to Rick Neuheisel for this. Neuheisel described Bo Nix, his playing, as frantic. He said the problem Bo has is his tempo is a lot faster than his teammates. And he joked about this, but it made some sense. Rick said, what they need to do is take his cleats off and let his tempo catch up with his wide receivers and his running backs. Does that make any kind of sense, Shane?
No, I remember hearing him say that. And the thing is he spazzes out back in the pocket after he normally you got a nice rhythm, flow, and you let things develop down the field. And what he's saying is his mind or whatever is so sped up that he takes off running before anything's even developed downfield.
Right.
And
right.
If he would just slow down. But I agree 100% with that. Frantic is a good word to use for him. And I mean, he's athletic and he can make some plays, but damn, he can make some plays going, what are you thinking, son? You cannot do
absolutely.
That.
And Shane, remember in the game last year with Arkansas, that was the game when Bo threw the ball backwards. And the referees called it down when they should not have done that. And somehow it was ended up being – it was either a recover fumble by Auburn or an incomplete pass. But anyway, they botched the call. But again, I like Arkansas in this game. That even though they did not beat Ole Miss, I'm with you. I give them credit for scoring late. They really called the wrong play on the 2-point conversion, but I give Pittman credit for doing it. But still, if Arkansas wins this game, they'll be 5-2.
Yeah, it's a big game because I don't know who's going to end up in the in the second, third spot in the SEC West. Right. I mean, those guys could have 3-4 losses. They're just going to beat up each other. All right, we go Gators travel to Baton Rouge, Death Valley. It's an 11 a.m. start. I know the Cajun fans ain't real excited about that. I don't know how many people beat this game. Ed Ogeron's in serious trouble. What do you see in this game, Brent?
Here's the bottom line in this game for Gator fans is who in the world is going to be left to play for LSU? Number one, their best receiver, Kayshon Booty, is out for the year. So, also, one of their best cornerbacks, Eli Ricks, is also out. There was talk about him transferring. His mother, of all people, went on Twitter and said that's not going to happen. Their senior defensive lineman, Ollie Gay, is going to be out for quite a while too. Now we also know that you've got other guys who are out. Stingley, who is one of the, in other words, their best offensive player, Boutte, their best defensive player, Stingley. Stingley is out indefinitely. Look, I don't have any real inside information on this, but I'll tell you what this looks like and feels like. These guys know they're not going anywhere. Mm-hmm. And part of this might very well be, okay, we're going to just let this season go, or are we going to wait and kind of see what this is going to end up with Ed Orgeron's future before we decide anything. Now, Max Johnson is still the quarterback, and he can still give you problems. Davis Price, running back, actually ran for 147 yards, but they really can't run a lick. If Florida is focused and motivated, and I think they will be, I'm not going to say they're necessarily named the score, but this is a very depleted LSU team that I think in a lot of ways, Shane, may have just cashed it in for the year.
Yeah, you hate seeing that, but I kind of agree with you. I think it's a lot of problems going on. I think it's good for Florida to play at 11 o'clock. You wake up and you go straight to the ballpark and play. You don't have to sit around the hotel and think all day. We got a text on the Titanmore text line from Daryl. He says, good morning, guys. Brent, I have never seen an LSU-Florida week where the coach at Florida gets more questions about the punter than LSU. And he's referring to, I saw Dan's presser the other day. And, you know, the reason the punter came up, I believe, this week is Florida was kind of sluggish, you know, not playing real well, still winning the game last week. But then Dan called that fake punt, and we saw the athleticism of the Australian punter. And so he was the star of the week for the media this week.
Well, and what usually happens, as you know, Shane, is LSU always has these Australian punters of their own. So usually they get all the attention, but unfortunately for right now, LSU's getting a lot of attention, but not for the right thing.
That's right. The 3:30 CBS game for the top spot in the SEC East, believe it or not, the Kentucky Wildcats will be between the hedges, both 6-0 against the Georgia Bulldogs. I'm anxious to see how Kentucky plays this game, Brent.
Yeah, so am I. Look, they've got weapons. Will Levis, the quarterback, has been, I think, sometimes a game manager and sometimes not, but he's still good, particularly when he's not throwing interceptions. The key to this game is this. Chris Rodriguez, the running back in Kentucky, leads the SEC in rushing. Matter of fact, they've got the leading wide receiver in the SEC in Wandale Robinson, the Nebraska transfer. Kabose Smoke is another really good running back. My thing is, if they can run the ball a little bit against Kentucky, against Georgia, that would help them considerably. I really don't see that happening. Georgia's won 11 in a row in the series and 36 out of 41. Now, Kentucky's tough enough to where they can hang in this game for a while. They're not going to win the game. frankly. But at the same time, they're 6-0. I believe that's the first time since like 1950 or something like that. So, yeah, 6-0, first time since 1950. And I give them a lot of credit. And Shane's right. It actually, this is a de facto division game as far as to take the lead. But still, just way too much Georgia here. Looks, I think Stetson Bennett will probably play again. And look, in my research for the speech tonight at the Georgia Club, talked to a Georgia beat writer. I make this brief. And that there's some Georgia media that really thinks JT Daniels may not be mentally tough enough right now, that he's not willing to play hurt. But at the same time, there's a lot of talk about getting him healthy for Florida. They need to worry about Kentucky first. But I give him credit. I'm curious what you think about this. Look, Bennett's not going to win the Heisman Trophy, but Kirby trusts him. He's not going to make a lot of mistakes. He's accurate. He checks out of bad plays into good plays. And right now, with what they've got defensively, Shane, that's about all they need at the moment, isn't it?
Yeah. See, Brent, I was on what's interesting is when my son was – after his sophomore year, we went to all the SEC schools for one days, and Kirby and I believe Jim Chaney was the OC at the time. They're like, dang, your son reminds us the way he plays – of a kid we have that's a walk-on that runs our scout team. And then when he started playing last year, I was like, this kid can play. I was this kid does things you can't coach. And that's true. What people don't understand. You know, I know JT Daniels has this tremendous arm and this, that, and the other, but he only he played against some weaker opponents last year he played in the SEC. Right. If I'm Kirby Smart, Stetson Bennett is my quarterback from here on out. Because people forget, it was 14-0 Georgia over Florida last year before, and then Stetson Bennett got hurt.
That's true.
And I think he's a really good player. I think he's got great moxie. He understands how to work the pocket. He's extremely accurate. He knows the system. And I think his teammates believe in him. And that's what goes a long ways.
Yeah.
So I've liked him since last year. And, you know, all these people get enamored with how big a guy is and how strong his arm is.
Right.
They don't win you football games, people. So
no.
We'll see. The other big one, well, I don't know if it's big, but it's interesting. Lane's going back as the head coach of the Rebels to Tennessee. It's the primetime SEC Network game, 7:30. This should be a track meet.
This could be 70 to 68. But before it's over, and listen, the great thing about this game is, and people may forget this, but Lane was a coach at Tennessee for a year before he went to Southern Cal. There was a big deal about this because he basically left late at night, and the media was all on him and so forth. Well, and that's one story, but the story about this week is. Both these teams have improved, and both these teams are good. And particularly what has happened is at Tennessee, Hendon Hooker has taken the reins at quarterback. Tyon Evans is a fifth-best running back in the SEC. Velus Jones, wide receiver, is a tenth-best receiver in the SEC. And they've had other guys step up, like Brandon Turnage, a defensive back who had 13 tackles last week. Now, look, is Tennessee going to win the East? No. But what they've done is, and Shane, I know you can appreciate this, they have an offensive identity, which makes this a very intriguing, will be a high-scoring game, and I think will be, as you said, very entertaining Saturday night.
Yeah, it's going to be a fun one. I think it's a huge game. Ole Miss cannot afford to lose this game, and they could.
Right.
I think Tennessee has a lot of momentum. They got a lot of firepower. It's the same exact offense that's going against one another. So it should be a fun one to watch. Brent, before we let you go, there's some other games in the SEC. South Carolina's at Vandy, A&M, Missouri. Those should be just cakewalks. How about the Seminoles getting their win number 2 at North Carolina? They manhandled them to Tar Heels.
that they did, and Jordan Travis has taken over the quarterback job. 11 of 13 for 145, three touchdowns and zero interceptions. And he also had 121 yards rushing. Joshua Corbin, who came over from A&M, has done a really good job with them. The guy that no one can stop is Jermaine Johnson, defensive end transfer. He's done really well. FSU's off this week. But look, that's good to see with them doing that. And I'm telling you, this South Carolina Vanderbilt game, as you mentioned, is important for this reason. If South Carolina wins, they've got four wins. So your reality is South Carolina could come close. It's not going to be easy, but Shane, they've got 50-50 games left. They could come close to a bowl game. And to me, in Shane Beamer's first year, that'd be almost a close to a miracle, would it not?
It really would. It would. And, we'll see. They got to win. These games are supposed to win, no question. Brent, good stuff as always, my man. Enjoy the weekend. I don't know if it can get any better than last weekend.
Really?
It should be fun.
Always enjoy it, Shane. Take care.
Yep, that's our college football analyst, Brent Beard. Join us on the Titan Tomorrow Hotline. You can follow Brent on Twitter at Brent Beard. Going to take our first time out and come back. We'll be joined by Mike Rideout from theprepzone.com and Main Street Daily News, talking a little high school football and volleyball. You're watching and listening to Pot Up with Matthews in the Morning from the Crime Prevention Security System Studios.
We want to take this moment to thank all our sponsors who keep the show going and pay the bills. Crime Prevention Security Systems, large enough to serve you, small enough to care. Titan MRI, Gainesville's only locally owned and operated MRI facility. Meldon Law, won't back down. Peachland Dental, Gator Nation's first choice for dentistry in Port Charlotte. Comfort Temp, comfort is our business, peace of mind is our promise. QC Kinetics, live pain-free with QC Kinetics. Great Clips, it's going to be great. Our gridiron sponsors are Auto ER, UF Bookstores, Celebration Point Town Center, South State Bank, Chris Doring Mortgage, Silverback Concrete Co. Some of our touchdown sponsors are Campus USA Credit Union, Adams Rib Company, Doreen Wiebe Realtor, Caldwell Banker, M.M. Parrish, Gator Dominoes, Celebrate Primary Care, Gator Bait Media, Rap Spot, Okito America, Gator's Dockside, Style Cuts, Big Mills Cheesesteaks. If you are interested in promoting your business on the show, visit potupwithshane.com and click the advertise button. Again, thank you to all the great businesses that support the show. If you like what we are doing here, make sure you follow us and support the businesses that support us.
Visor's Tailgate and Rooftop Bar, located on top of Spurrier's Gridiron Grill in Celebration Point, is now open Thursday through Saturday. Visor's covered open-air bar is the perfect place to gather after work or meet up with friends. You'll love the handcrafted cocktails and elevated shareables available every Thursday through Saturday. Visor's Tailgate and Rooftop Bar is perfect for fans of great food, great drinks, and great weather. Visor's not required. High spirits are highly encouraged. Visit spurriers.com/visors.
Are you tired of being sidelined by nagging pain? Hi, I'm Emmitt Smith, Hall of Famer and Dance with the Stars champion. Happy to tell you about QC Kinetics and their biologic therapies for treating pain without drugs or surgery.
Are you suffering from chronic pain in your hips, knees, shoulder, or lower back? Are you tired of living with arthritis pain? QC Kinetics offers natural pain treatment that can repair and restore damaged tissue in your joints.
Listen, I know pain, and I've seen firsthand how powerful biologic therapies can be. Patients at QC Kinetics rave about their result because they're getting their lives back. They're getting moving again.
These exciting regenerative treatments used to be available only to pro athletes like Emmett. Now they're available to anyone thanks to QC Kinetics. Call today for your free consultation.
Get long-lasting results from my friends at QC Kinetics.
Call QC Kinetics 352-400-4550. In North Central Florida, call 352-400-4550. QC Kinetics 352-400-4550.
Welcome back to the Crime Prevention Security System Studios. Center State Bank is now South State Bank, but they put business first. We understand that small businesses need a community business partner that they can rely on. South State still has four convenient Alachua County locations. South State Bank, Bank and Ford, member FDIC. We're now going to go to our Titan MR hotline, joined by the Prep Zone and Main Street Daily News, our man, Mike Rideout. Good morning, Mike. How are you?
Good morning, Shane. How are you today?
Doing well. It's Mike, is it already week 7 in high school football?
Yeah. I mean, it's hard to believe that we've only got, three weeks, I guess, if you count this week, as far as the district races go. So we'll have playoff situations decided here at the end of the month. And yeah, I mean, not only with football, but, you know, you and I were just talking during the break. You've got volleyball last week of the regular season. So district tournaments beginning next week for them, cross country, swimming and diving. So these fall sports are starting to wrap up. And well, obviously we're getting to, you know, the big boys, you know, see who's going to step up and make the postseason for football.
Now, let me ask you this. Does everybody make the playoffs like last year or no?
No. It's going to be based on – so your smaller classifications, your 1A through 4A, will come down to the top teams in the region. Your larger classifications, 5A through 8A, your district champions will get in, and then it's based on an RPI to decide who gets in, you know, aside from your district champions.
Do coaches like that this new format for the playoffs? Because, you know, in the past it was if you win the district, you know you're hosting first round. If you're the runner-up in your district, you know you're in the playoffs, but you're traveling. So what's the thought process? What do these coaches think about it?
You know, I think that they like it for the most part. You know, I've heard coaches say if you win, then all of that takes care of itself anyway. You know, you just want to go out and try to get better every week. I think that the Florida High School Athletic Association, you know, I know that they like it because they feel like they're getting the best competition in the postseason. You're going to have your better teams if you're taking the teams, you know, with the better RPI. So from that standpoint, you get better matchups in the playoffs. So I would think that the coaches would like that. You know, you get an opportunity to compete for a regular season district championship, which is obviously your number one goal anyway. And then if you don't get in, you feel like you've played a tough schedule and you've competed and you put yourself in position to make the postseason.
Yeah, that's true, because I do remember there could be some 1-9 teams in the past that could get in with the other format, which was ridiculous. Mike, last week, the big game here locally was Gainesville High against Buholtz. I actually watched the majority of that game. I was there with a buddy. I don't know if I've ever seen a game. I mean, now, Buholtz was the better football team, but it was 6-3 at half. Buholtz kicks off to GHS. The poor returner thought the ball was going into the end zone. It goes over his head, and it literally – lands on the 1-inch line and bounces back into play. And after that, it was just game over.
Yeah, because they were backed up, you know, I think inside their 10, I believe, on that kick. And if you remember, at the end of the first half, Nayron Jenkins blocked a 43-yard field goal. So a couple of special teams issues there for Gainesville High School. And yeah, and then after that, Shane, it just seemed like it was a short field for Buholtz the rest of the second half. Ja'Kari Kelly had a 45-yard punt return for a touchdown. Quan Lee had a 53-yard punt return for a touchdown. So it just – I think actually Kelly's, I think, was a 40-yard punt return for a touchdown. But they had two punt returns for touchdowns in that game. They had, you know, benefited from a short field. But, yeah, it was – again, give Gainesville credit. You know, Gainesville came into this game. They had won 4 in a row. They lost their season opener to Vanguard. They were on a roll. Buholtz was 4-1 coming into this game. It was really nice to see, more than anything, Shane, the crowd. You know, to just be able to feel like, okay, we're back to normalcy now, because this is an unbelievable crowd. And, you know, it was a great atmosphere for high school football at Citizens Field.
Yeah, and I thought Doc, you know, we knew Buholtz had somewhat of a really good offense with their receivers, and then Creed at quarterback. They were real explosive, but I thought the defense for GHS and what the plan. Now, I haven't seen them play all year. I don't know if that's how they play defensively, but their scheme for this game, I think it's kind of a blueprint that other teams in the future might want to use against Buholtz.
Yeah, I mean, the thing about Gainesville, though, is that I've seen them play four times. I've seen them four times this year. And it was their defense early in the year that stood out to me. They didn't give up a touchdown against Bishop Moore of Orlando in their second game of the year. So they bounced back pretty nicely after the loss to Vanguard. Then they went to Trinity Catholic. They gave up a field goal late in the first quarter in that game. And that's it. That's the only points they gave up. So they gave up no touchdowns in back-to-back games. But it was the offense that kind of opened the eyes of Coach Mark Whittemore for Buchholz, because they scored 57 points against Matanzas on the road. That was the most under Doc Pollard. And then they scored 49 points, had a running clock against Santa Fe, 49-14. So it was the offense that really was starting to come to life. They've got a pretty good running back in the backfield and John Cooper. I think he had a 93-yard touchdown run against Santa Fe. Had a really nice game. Their quarterback, Shimon Coleman, is only a sophomore, but he doesn't play like a sophomore. So, their offense was able to come to life in their last couple of games, and their defense certainly kept them in that game in the first half. But Buchholz is just really good. You mentioned the weapons that they have with, Creed Whittemore at quarterback, Quan Lee at wide receiver. We believe now is the all-time leading wide receiver in Alachua County history. And he actually leads the team in rushing, which is kind of funny. But they got Adrian Sermons at wide receiver. I mentioned Ja'Kari Kelly, who had the punt return for a touchdown. He's an excellent receiver. So you mix that in with that front of Buchholz. Look out for the Bobcats. They're 5-1 now. And, I think they're the best team in Gainesville.
All right. So as you said, the season is winding down, getting closer to the playoffs. Talk about some of the smaller schools, the 1A programs, because we have a ton of them in our area, and a lot of good teams that have a chance to make a run this postseason.
As you look at Class 1A now, in particular, Shane, it's going to be pretty loaded. We still have, and I got a chance to see another one this past Friday, but we still have three undefeated teams in our area that are, still haven't lost a game. Chiefland, Union County, which had to come from behind. They trailed 10-0 in Dixie, in Cross City against Dixie County, came back and won that game. Hawthorne, still undefeated. I got a chance to see them a couple of weeks ago when they went to Live Oak Suwannee and beat a 5A team on the road. So it's going to be pretty competitive in Class 1A. Getting back to that Union County game, by the way, it was win number 100 for Andrew Thomas, who won two state championships at Trenton. So this Union County team is pretty good too. So I'm excited and really looking forward to seeing how things are going to end up, because Union County, 6-0, Hawthorne, 5-0. And then also just outside of 1A, Keystone Heights, they quietly put together a 7-0 start. So there's been some good football play in this area, but also, Shane, there's been some bad football. Eastside, which plays tonight against Newberry, Santa Fe, who's the other one? Eastside, Santa Fe, escaping me now, but there are three winless teams in Alachua County right now. St. Francis Catholic is the other. You have to wonder which one of those three teams are going to get their first win of the year.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about our private schools here, how they're doing this year. You said St. Francis is 0-4 right now. What about Oak Hall?
Yeah, Oak Hall's doing well. They won last week. I think they've got one loss right now. In fact, we're going to have them on our high school show next Wednesday, so I'll get to know the team a little bit better. But, that's a team that has made the jump back to 11-man football this year. So, they've done quite well. We'll see if they can make the postseason. I think they'll get in. But, yeah, certainly St. Francis Catholic is down right now and still looking for their first win of the year.
All right, so you're on the prep zone. Y'all calling a game tonight and tomorrow, or just tomorrow night?
Yeah, tonight's game will be broadcast on the Eastside Athletics Facebook page. We'll also have a link at theprepzone.com. As I mentioned, Eastside going for its first win of the year. They're hosting Newberry tonight at Citizens Field. And then tomorrow night, our radio broadcast will be Middleburg at Gainesville. A big one in 6A District 4, Shane, because St. Augustine right now is the team to beat in that district. And as I mentioned, district champion gets in, and then it comes down to RPI. So you want to do as well as you can. Gainesville, even though they're coming off a loss, Middleburg coming off a loss to Jacksonville Episcopal, but that doesn't really mean anything because this is a district game. So it's a key game, an elimination game, if you will, between Gainesville and Middleburg on Friday night in 6A District 4, because St. Augustine will be the team to beat in that district.
Yeah. We got a question here for you, Mike, on Facebook Live, brought to you by Meldon Law. John asks, Mike, with Madison County just getting their full complement of players back, where do you put them in 1A?
I mean, you've always got to consider Madison County. Yeah, right? You always have to consider them as the team to beat, even though Hawthorne beat them last year. That game was at Hawthorne, but that game was in doubt, you know, in the fourth quarter. Never count the Cowboys out. You look at their record, 4-3, you might think, well, they're a little down this year, but we know that Madison County always plays the big boys. They're still going to be tough to beat when it comes to postseason, which again, you throw them in the mix and it just shows you how tough Class 1A is. Even a team like Wildwood, for example, which was in the top five and they just recently lost a game. They're going to go to PK Young tomorrow night, but even Wildwood is a team that you've got to at least consider. You know, look what they did on the road last year at Newberry to start the postseason, won a couple of playoff games. It just makes Class 1A so tough. But, yeah, I definitely think you have to consider Madison County as one of the teams to win it in 1A. They're ranked second in the state right now, but Hawthorne's ranked third in the state. Union County's ranked fourth. Wildwood's receiving votes. It's wide open in Class 1A. It's going to be a fun postseason.
Yeah, it really is. And Madison County did take down Florida High last week. So that tells you they're getting their players back. Let me ask you something. Is Madison County on the side of the bracket with all the ones over here in the Gainesville area?
As their region?
Basically what I'm saying is, you know, when we look at 1A, because they're, you know, basically it's from Ocala up and then north to the Panhandle. We pretty much can pencil in Baker team. The Baker team is going to represent whatever they consider that part of the bracket, right? But it seems like there's a million teams that have a chance in the Gainesville area, 1A teams, to face Baker again, like Hawthorne last year. But what I'm asking is Madison County going to have to play, whether it's Union, Hawthorne, Wildwood, one of those teams to get to the state title, or would they be playing one of the local teams for the state title? Does that make sense?
Yes. They would be playing it should be a situation where you've got a team from that, you know, Panhandle area playing a team from our area. But if you look at Madison County's region, just to give you an example, you know, you got Blunchtown, Sneeds, Hamilton County, Port St. Joe. Those are the types of teams that are in their region. So they would start out the postseason playing a team in their region first. And then they would move on to the next region, which would include teams like Chiefland and Union County and Hawthorne, for example.
Okay.
Just like you saw last year, you know, with Hawthorne going head-to-head with Madison County and then playing Baker for the state championship, it'll be like that again.
So basically, someone between Madison and down Gainesville, this area, is going to play Baker for the state title, is what I was trying to get at.
Pretty much.
I was trying to figure out if Madison would be, you know, it'd be a hell of a lot easier if they just said, this is the north bracket, this is the south bracket. You know what I mean?
Right.
It would be a lot easier. So, all right. Well, at Chris Doring Mortgage, they do mortgage lending right, helping home buyers throughout Gainesville and north central Florida. Call Chris Doring Mortgage today, 352-244-0840. A few more minutes with Mike Wright out here from the Prep Zone and Main Street Daily News. All right, let's switch gears to volleyball. As you said, the district tournaments, believe it or not, are next week. Who in our area can we expect to make a deep run?
I think without question, the first team you got to point to is Santa Fe High School. They are 22-3, Shane. They're ranked number one in the state in 4A. They're ranked ninth in the country by Max Preps. And they will actually host the 4A District 4 tournament. They will play on Tuesday. They'll play either Eastside or Palatka, the 4 and 5 seeds. So you got to start with Santa Fe, the season that they've had. You know, they just made a state championship a few years ago, and they went back-to-back and were state runners-up. So they've been there. They got a little bit of experience. I think Santa Fe will be the best team from our area that has a chance to win a state. And then just like football, really, Shane, in 1A, and that is just so competitive because Newberry was in the state championship game last year. But Bell was just in the state championship game a couple of years ago. you know, it's going to be tough for those teams to come through and get to the state championship. And then you got to play Sneeds again, which I think has won 7 or 8 in a row, which is ridiculous. There's some, you know, I think there's some good volleyball teams over in that Tri-County area. I think that Bell is a team that's starting to, you know, get better and, you know, as they approach the postseason. So it should be pretty interesting to see what happens in 1A because there's a lot of good competition over there in Class 1A.
Yeah, no doubt about it. All right, Mike, we appreciate your time. Let everybody know how they can listen to your broadcast and read your stuff at the Main Street Daily News.
I appreciate it. Yes, we'll have Middleburg at Gainesville at 106.9 FM, also online at imcountryradio.com. I'll have a recap of the game at mainstreetdailynews.com, and we'll have some volleyball stuff up next week, obviously, with district tournaments underway, schedules, and so forth. mainstreetdailynews.com, and also the prepzone.com, where we kind of post all of our broadcasts.
Good stuff, Mike. Appreciate it. Enjoy the calls tonight and Friday. Mike Rideout. Join us on the Titan tomorrow hotline. We're going to take our final timeout, come back, wrap up this program.
We want to take this moment to thank all our sponsors who keep the show going and pay the bills. Crime Prevention Security Systems, large enough to serve you, small enough to care. Titan MRI, Gainesville's only locally owned and operated MRI facility. Meldon Law, won't back down. Peachland Dental, Gator Nation's first choice for dentistry in Port Charlotte. Comfort Temp, comfort is our business, peace of mind is our promise. QC Kinetics, live pain-free with QC Kinetics. Great Clips, it's going to be great. Our Gridiron sponsors are Auto ER, UF Bookstores, Celebration Point Town Center, South State Bank, Chris Doring Mortgage, Silverback Concrete Co. Some of our touchdown sponsors are MB Listing, McDonald's of Gainesville, My IT Masters, Gainesville Neon and Signs, 84 Lumber, Tropical Smoothie Cafe, Avera and Smith, Dowling Signs, Baker's Sporting Goods, Ruse Ogra Agent, State Farm Insurance, Silver Q Billiards and Sports Bar. If you are interested in promoting your business on the show, visit potupwithshane.com and click the advertise button. Again, thank you to all the great businesses that support the show. If you like what we are doing here, make sure you follow us and support the businesses that support us.
Welcome back to the Crime Prevention Security System Studios, large enough to serve you, small enough to care. At Comfort Temp, comfort is our business, peace of mind is our promise. Comfort Temp's now hiring team members with all levels of experience. They'll give you a $1,000 signing bonus, folks. Give them a call, 352-376-2366. This Day in Sports, 2003. You folks remember this. The fan of the Chicago Cubs, Steve Bartman, deflects the ball away. Chicago Cubs outfielder Moises Alou. The Cubs give up 8 runs in the inning and lose 8-3 to the Marlins. And the Bartman incident is seen as the turning point in the series. That's This Day in Sports, brought to you by our good friends at Comfort Temp. I need to make an announcement that we are now streaming live on Facebook Live, YouTube, and Twitter Live. I think that's what it's called. I was just told that. I don't know how any of that works, folks. Maybe y'all do, but you can check us out and go from there. Tomorrow we'll have JC. We'll have our Peachland Dentistry, our weekend picks. We'll talk a little bit about more LSU and the big games in the Southeastern Conference and around college football. Tonight you got the Tampa Bay Buccaneers playing in Philly on Thursday night football. Also game 5. To see who faces the Atlanta Braves. You got the Dodgers and the Giants tonight. So hope you enjoyed today's show. We appreciate Mike Rideout giving us his time and also our college football analyst, Brent Beard. Today's show's a wrap, folks. See you later.